Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I have with me Oliver Bilson, and he is an owner, I think, of a results marketing agency. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. CEO and founder, yeah.
The founder, yeah. So what is a results marketing agency? What exactly do you guys specialize in?
So we marry together two time-tested and proven principles. The first is implementing direct response marketing, which if you've been around marketing for any length of time, you'll know that direct response marketing is very different from brand-based awareness marketing or social media marketing or anything like that. It's very it's set up in a way around some key overriding things that underpin direct response. It holds every single dollar to account for everything that you do, whether that be it online or offline. And we bring that together with leveraging marketing automation. And together, when we bring them together, we call it dynamic response marketing. And that's exactly what we do. We're an agency. We predominantly deal with clients in the United States and America, although most of our team is actually here in the US. And we work with people that are in the agency side of things. We run their marketing for them. Usually they're at sort of early seven-figure stages, and they're looking to grow their business to eight, nine figures. So that's what we help them do.
Can you define what dynamic marketing is to someone that never heard of it?
Well, it's the best analogy for it would be that if we were in a restaurant and we'd met each other for the first time, and you were explaining to me about what you do, and I had something that could potentially that you may be interested in buying. I may not know that yet, but it just so happened that I got something that would benefit you. The chances are, in order to influence or compel you or to get you to better understand what I do over the table, we would have a conversation and I would obviously lead you in different directions based upon the answers that you would give me. And from that, I'd understand a little bit more about you and how I could help. And then I'd tailor those conversations to allow you to say, this guy understands me, I like him, I trust him, and we would have a very personal dialogue. Now, the challenge is that's great because the chances are that conversion, that the idea that you may want to buy something is going to be a lot higher because, of course, we're in person and I can tailor the conversation based upon that. But when it comes to actually marketing your own business, of course, you'd like to have all of these personal conversations with people, but that's not really ever going to happen because there's lots of people that come towards you. Now, dynamic response is really where when somebody comes to your website or somebody to respond from some kind of advert, then you are essentially going to segment those people and profile them and predetermine and create an experience for them around who they are, what they need, and obviously how you can help them in an automated fashion so that you're not speaking to everybody in the same way. You've got a very tightly knitted message to market match. In doing so, it's like having a conversation over the table in a restaurant, but done in a personal, automated way that, of course, in a one-to-many situation, increases conversions to allow you to get more customers and more money in your bank account.
So would it be correct if I said that you basically create funnels and then segment people into their individual mini funnels to finally get them the best whatever product or service that they would need at the end of them?
Yeah, so there is obviously there's several parts to the life cycle, but essentially the first part is creating awareness, putting yourself in front of a particular target audience, a particular market, then capturing, having some kind of lead generation bait, something that you're leading with information first with, something that's going to be of value to them, exchanging their contact information for that piece of value. At that point of capturing their information so that you can follow up with them effectively afterwards, you can then ask a series of questions that tell you more about that person, tell you more about that lead, and then exactly as you say, then put them into different swim lanes, for want of a better word, to talk to them more specifically about their challenges, problems, desires, interests, or whatever it may be, to get them to bubble up to becoming a customer.
Can you walk me through a typical scenario of how you would help an agency? Would it be getting more clients, or would it be actually helping their customers get more clients? And kind of what's the process like of you working with an agency?
So in terms of if an agency was one of our clients, how would we go about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and we do work with some agencies that work with us to help them get more customers and clients. So one of the kind of the mistakes, I suppose, that a lot of agencies, specifically talking about them, make is that they want to try and get people to. They probably have a core offer, whatever type of services that they offer, whether it's Facebook ad management, whether it's they're a website design company, whether they're a conversion company, whatever it may be that they do. They typically want to go for the lowest hanging fruit first, so that when people come towards them, they just push people to go and schedule a call with them, and then they try and sell them their kind of core offer. Now, the truth is that you don't know enough about the people that are coming towards you in terms of how you can actually help them. It may not be that they have the right budget, that they have the right time, they've got the propensity to invest into a large retainer program or project. So the idea is, certainly with an agency, is to profile people when they come through so that you can best determine what sort of phase of business that they're actually in right now. Are they just starting out? Are they, turning over? A good indication for this is kind of turnover, and that's a good place to start, just as a metric of understanding where a business is in their life cycle. So, a startup business has very different challenges and problems than somebody that has, a six-figure business that's under $500,000. And so the tactics and strategies and information changes between the different phases. So between startup to 100,000 is one phase, 100,000 up to 1 million, seven figures, is another phase. And then 1 million to 10 million is another phase. And then from 10 million to roughly about 50 million is another phase. There are some considerations between some of those phases, but in the main, if we just concentrate on the first three, you have to know where your services as an agency fit that person that's coming towards you. So, for example, somebody that's a startup business under $100,000 in turnover, quite honestly, you know, you may have a productized version of your offer in some way that you can give them because economically it makes sense for them and the result that they're trying to get. And what's important to understand is that each of these phases of businesses, you want to tailor your offer to suit where they are, what their biggest challenge is, and how you can help them overcome it. So when you know that, then, you know, immediately there's a one-to-one relationship between your service menu and what you can offer them. So really it's about profiling them as they come through, providing information and value in advance to suit each of those stages. So they understand that you know what their biggest problems are, and they've also told you what some of their biggest problems are, and they've divulged some information about them. And then naturally, you can then lead them towards taking the next step with you. Whether that is on a done, here's the information and go ahead and do it on your own, or whether it's a done with you program or whether it's a done for you program, all of which are the same.
Yeah, if you don't mind, let's dig into the profiling a little bit more, because most agencies, for one, don't get a lot of traffic to their websites. For two, when people yes. do come to your website, they are not very happy to answer things and give a lot of info to you, right? They just want to know what the price is. So give us some tactics or strategies or just how you would approach this problem to actually get the right traffic to give you that info.
Yep. Okay, so the first real place to start with is working with the assets that you already have. So presumably you have customers that exist already. So you've got a customer list. And the chances are, if you've been doing your marketing properly as an agency, you've probably got a list of people that had come to you at some point, but they hadn't bought from you. Okay, so they're the two assets that you have. You have a list of people that split into two, customers and non-customers. What I would then do is I would think about, where do my target market, where do they hang out? Now, the chances are that a lot of people have a Facebook account, and so it makes sense that you would, and your target market may hang out on Facebook. It's certainly a very popular channel. So I would upload those two lists of people to Facebook into a custom audience, which is a way to be able to, for Facebook to match those people that you're giving it from your database to Facebook's system. And then there'll be a number of people that you can market to. Now, clearly, what you want to do is expand your reach of that audience. So I would do what's called a lookalike audience of people that look like your best customers. That would make sense, because Facebook has the ability to be able to go and look at that. Facebook also has the ability, if you've got how much these people have spent with you, you can also upload how much money they've actually spent with you into a lifetime value, an amount of dollars. And so then Facebook can be even more particular about who it goes and creates an audience from. So from that, now we've got a customer list that's been turned into a lookalike audience of people that may look like your best customers. And you'll do a lookalike audience of people that came to you at one point in time but didn't convert, and you've got a lookalike of those people. I would then go through the motions of saying, okay, well, we want an ad campaign to people that had come to us before but not converted. So that's one segment of people. I then want another ad campaign for people that are already customers of mine or have been in the past, that I want to try and sell something else to them, okay? So they know who we are. Then I've got these two lookalike audiences, which are cold audiences. They're not warm audiences. The other two are warm audiences. And to those people, I would create some kind of quiz, potentially, that would be some kind of diagnostic that would allow them to get some value from maybe a tailored marketing plan or something like that that's fairly generic and applicable to lots of different types of businesses. And when they complete that quiz, they will give us some profile information about where they are in their business, which is what you're going to need in the back end of that to segment them effectively. And then you'll also provide some value based on what information they give you. So that's one campaign for the people that are existing customers. I would just simply have a campaign that runs people into a landing page that acknowledges that they're already a customer or have been in the past. And because of that, there's good news. And good news is that we've got this other service that we think that they may be interested in. But here's the information for that. And they can request that information and they can capture their contact information again, thus although they're already in our system, to re-register a lead. And then the second type of person that is unconverted, that hadn't converted in the past, again, we can write in the advert, hey, so it's been a while since we've last seen you. It's an unhappy anniversary, or whatever kind of hook you want to use in the ad. And then we said, we've got something new and exciting that may be interesting for you. And then I would run people into a specific funnel and offer for reactivating and re-engaging with those unconverted leads.
You mentioned a diagnostic quiz. Could you give an example of what that would look like? Maybe what sort of questions to ask?
So it really depends upon your outcome of what you want from the quiz. So really you have to think really with the end in mind first, and consider where you ultimately want to take people and whether or not those questions will determine or not what bucket that they should sit into. So you really want to start with, okay, who are my avatars here that, you know, maybe I've got two or three avatars of people, hopefully more than one, and you want to bucket those people up into those avatars. Now, the questions are going to be very specific to the type of business that you're in, but in a lot of ways, you're looking for that one-to-one profiling. So for me, immediate segmentation of a business coming towards an agency is going to be revenue, like we've spoken about. So if they give me an indication of where they are right now in terms of revenue, that really puts some perspective on where we can take them afterwards into one bucket group or three. So that's a consideration. Now, you may also ask some other qualifying questions as well. And that's exactly the way you want to look at the quiz in terms of qualifying questions. For most agencies, like we were talking about before, the idea of asking somebody immediately, are you male or female, is not a very good question to ask because, quite frankly, nobody cares. But if you were saying, how would you best describe your lead generation right now? Is it a drought, i.e. you don't have any? Is it a trickle? Is it a flood? You know, I don't have any leads. I have some leads, or I've got so many leads I don't know what to do with. Again, that's going to identify for you what their marketing's like. They're self-identifying with, yeah, actually, I've got some leads, which is fine. Your next question would be, you know, you don't want to be too prescriptive of like, hey, what's your conversion rate that you've got at the moment? Because you don't want it to be that some people have to go away and like go into their accounts or go into their CRM system or ask their, you know, CPA, what's this information? You want them to take quick decisions, take those micro commitments as they come through the quiz process, and allow them to complete it, because until they complete it, you don't get their contact information anyway. So for me, you kind of want to be quite polarizing in your answers. So for me, you know, again, team size may well be a factor, or something if you're an agency. How do you currently implement your marketing right now? Option one is I do it all myself. Option two is I hire freelancers online. Option three, I've got an agency to do my work for me. Again, those profile questions immediately tell you about that person. Another one would be, what type of marketing automation tool do you use right now? I use Infusionsoft, Entreport, Drip, ActiveCampaign, or I don't use any. You know as well as I do that somebody that's using a more sophisticated piece of software tells you enough about that person. They're already paying for a tool right now, so they're a buyer of something else, which is helpful. If they're not using marketing automation software and they're a startup business and they do all the marketing themselves, that's a different type of profile of person.
Let me ask you how to tackle a scenario which I find very, very typical with clients. So people will have a tripwire and they can sell the tripwire, but then they cannot get the people to buy the product or service which they're selling. Or they can get them to buy the lower service, but they can't move people to the higher one. Like, how do you address those type of problems when you can't move one segment onto the next part of your funnel, which, you know, would be the normal progression?
So are you talking specifically from an agency standpoint?
So some agencies, right? So when it comes to agencies, I would think of things like SEO packages, right? Like someone is on a very low SEO package and that comes without anything, and they want to move people onto the ones with the bells and whistles. Or, for example, they might be, they bought the PPC do-it-yourself book, and then someone wants to move them onto doing pay-per-click as a service. I mean, that's for agencies, but I mean, I see these type of products with all types of clients, from lawyers to physicians to, you know, so
yeah,
it's
sure.
a common problem.
Well, I can give you, So we'll deal with the agency bit first, and then I'll just give you something that's universally applicable to virtually everybody. So from an agency standpoint, it's always going to be about how you productize your different service offerings. If you don't know about productization, I suggest you go and have a look at it, because otherwise your agency will go insane. But really, it's about showing the roadmap for the client of where they are now and what the points are that they can go through, and what those packages are and that they can evolve into over time. That's very important, because if people don't know where they are and what the succession plan is for them as part of you helping them, then you've got a problem. So you really need to, whether it's like an infographic or whether it's your the way that you do your pricing pages or any marketing collateral, you want to show them what the journey is that they're going to go on with you. Okay, you bought this thing. That's great. Congratulations. Right. The next phase is that you're going to go on to this plan here, and that includes this stuff. Now, that's great, and that's going to get you then to the next level here, which is you will naturally evolve into that level, and which requires more help, more guidance, more done-for-you stuff, more account management, because you're at that different phase of business. It makes sense for you. It makes sense for us, and that's how we can help you. So it's really about the customer. If you don't tell them what the journey's going to be like, then, you know, it's your own fault when you sell somebody something and then they feel like, oh, this guy's just trying to upsell me onto the next thing. I don't want to take it, or I'm only getting this now and I don't think that's very good value for money. Well, if they spent more money, then they get more value. So you have to show them the roadmap. So that's really kind of the way to deal with that from an agency standpoint, or even a consulting standpoint, or anything like that, or coaching standpoint. From a non agencies type business, it's similar. Quite honestly, it kind of comes back to what we were saying before. Most people have this ascension approach to, okay, we generate a lead, we give them something for free, we then offer them something at low ticket to get them to become a buyer, then we give them an opportunity to buy our core offer, then we've got something else that we buy them, and so on and so on and so forth. But the truth is, it's a bit of a stupid way of looking at business. If you're a novice online marketer, when I say novice online marketer, I mean you could be a bricks and mortar business, you could be a lawyer or anything like that, but you have to understand what your conversion mechanism is. So the truth is that, like, if you're a lawyer or somebody like that that relies upon getting people into a room for like an evening of talking about stuff, or like a discovery day type thing, you have to know that that's your conversion mechanism. So you have to understand how you can best serve people. And so it's more like a wheel than it is a ladder. And I think most people approach it because they've heard these analogies thrown around, like tripwire and so on and so forth, when in reality, that isn't always your tripwire, isn't always selling something. It could be scheduling a call. Somebody's time is equally as valuable as what they spend from their pocket. So you have to understand that, and so from an agency standpoint, you definitely have to understand that, because if you're doing work for clients, if you don't understand what's going to be meaningful to them, then you've got a problem. So put it this way, somebody could come to a website, any website today, and they know, like, why, for example, we had this happen fairly recently with us. I was on a speaking to a potential client, and this guy's got $100 million a year business. Do you think that somebody who's weighing up a $20,000 a month investment in our agency running their stuff is going to be interested in downloading a free ebook?
Probably not.
He just wants to speak to somebody because he's a serious director of this business, and he wants to know how we can help him. So he doesn't want his time wasted. Like, he doesn't want to go through the hoops of download this and then you've got to buy the next thing, and it's all very linear. Of course not. You want to understand where people are and what information is going to help them to bubble up to the right product service that you can help them with. And so if people are ready to take action now, don't force them to download something. I mean, if you're a lawyer, sure, you might have the five things you need to know before you hire a lawyer on your website as a lead magnet, but don't put barriers in front of them from them just calling you. Because if I want to hire a lawyer, I want to hire a lawyer now. Like, I'm not, because I've got a problem. So, like, that's what I want to do. Don't make me download things. And especially don't make me download things without me giving you my phone number, because guess what? If you need to speak to somebody to make a sale, everybody focuses on lead cost. How much does it cost me to get a lead? But if you're collecting the wrong information, I mean, it's no good to you. If you're not getting phone number, useless. Now, whether you get that up front, you get it on the thank you page or whatever you do, if your business relies upon having a conversation with somebody to make a sale, ultimately for the thing that you actually want to sell, not this tripwire that you want to try and get to liquidate your traffic costs, well, it's going to liquidate your traffic costs anyway, as long as you set your marketing up in the right way.
Lately, I've seen the tendency to try and move away from sales and sell through automation, right? So these webinars and workshops and basically using tools to make the sale for you. What have you seen when it comes to that, and what's your experience been?
So automation is extremely powerful, but sometimes can be abused. It depends what type of conversion mechanism that you're using. Can you accelerate the lead to prospect time with automation? Of course you can. Can you do it through diversifying your follow-up, text messages, Facebook Messenger, direct mail? Of course you can. But it's relative to where you're trying to take people. What you don't want to do is remove the personal interaction that could potentially hamper the lead to buyer time. And that is a mistake that some people make. They think that, well, I've got this really powerful tool. Well, you know, we only want to deal with the most qualified people, so therefore we'll put all of these things in place. When in reality, people just want to have a conversation. And so you have to know, you know, frankly, what is the right thing for that business. And automation can do a great service to you if you're sifting and sorting and segmenting people in a clever way, but you definitely don't want to be putting barriers up for people to actually buy what you've got to offer.
From your experience, what's the biggest and quickest win a typical company can have through the use of automation?
Well, I think that if a company is two things, probably. Firstly, if they're doing the right type of lead generation, then when a new lead is generated, they should have at least, it's really not about the numbers, it's about the result, but they should have a new lead follow-up process. So every lead that comes through, there's an automated follow-up process that is predetermined and choreographed to provide the best experience for the lead that's coming towards you, just so that they can get to know, like, and trust you. That's the first. The second is, when somebody becomes a buyer, they want to have a new customer experience. You want to delight and wow your new customers. So you should have an automated follow-up sequence for people that are new customers to get them to either engage in another purchase with you or get them to refer more people to you.
What are some of your favorite tools when it comes to automation, segmenting, and some of the other stuff we spoke about?
So, I mean, we're a big advocate and component of Infusionsoft. We pretty much run, we run a large proportion of the higher volume Infusionsoft accounts in the world, as far as how many emails are being sent and their contact database size and things like that. We definitely deal with the upper quartile of all of those clients as clients of ours. So we see Infusionsoft be leveraged as a very good tool. And then there are other tools that feed into that, things like Fix Your Funnel, plus this. All work extremely well, and Wicked Reports as well, to be able to pull all of that stuff together from an automation standpoint. So that's really where it's at.
What are some of your favorite books on these topics that maybe someone could kind of delve into?
Well, there really aren't that many books on automation per se. So, you know, I think that one of the books that I first read by Clay Mask and Scott Martineau was Conquer the Chaos. Great book to buy if you're first looking at automation and how that could potentially work. They are the co-founders of Infusionsoft, so they're probably a little bit biased there, but Conquer the Chaos is a great book. And I think in a way, it's probably a good idea to just look at all different types of books around systems. So Work the System is another book. There is the Checklist Manifesto, another book that's great for systems and systemization in general.
Oliver, where can people find you if they would like to reach out to you?
It seems really old to say that now, but oliverbilson.com with two L's, oliverbilson.com.
Awesome. I'll definitely put that in the show notes too.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.